So this morning we'll be discussing three verses from the first part of Canto 3, Chapter 30. Because yesterday morning we discussed the last verse of Chapter 29. And the last verse of Chapter 29, the last section of verses was discussing time. And we're going to hear some more about the influence of time in this beginning section of chapter 30. So 29 is explanation of devotional service, and specifically, rather than reviewing all the class from yesterday, because we did a review of the entire chapter, the concluding section is how time acts for those who are not devotees and for those who are devotees. And time is eternal. Time is Krishna, as he says in Bhagavad Gita, time I am. So time is Krishna, and time is also one of his swashaktis, one of his personal potencies, or one of the sub-potencies of his internal potency. So for the purpose of creation, there's one kind of time, past, present, and future kind. And then within the past, present, and future kind, there's relativities, meaning the higher planets' life duration is much longer, and middle planets it's much shorter, and below it's much shorter. So time is relative, past, present, and future kind of time. And then there's eternal time, which is prevails in the spiritual world. Everything there is sat. It's eternal. Eternality prevails. The concluding message was very nice. Prabhupada writes that that devotional service, or I'll just read it directly. A devotee does not desire anything of this material world. Therefore, because everything that's of this material world is under the influence of time, and now you see it, now you don't. Or maybe you never even see it, but it's there for a short duration, or intermediate duration, or long duration, but it's terminal. So a devotee doesn't aspire or desire anything in this material world. The devotee desires only to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This servitude exists eternally. So just as the soul is eternal, the servitude is co-eternal, or intrinsic to the soul. It's of the soul. Like consciousness is of the soul. So servitude is of the soul. Semicolon, the Lord exists eternally, his servitor exists eternally, and the service exists eternally. So the process of devotional service is to connect favorably with servitude to Krishna. It's quite simple in principle. The application is where it gets a little sticky, because we have another very long-standing propensity, which is to ignore Krishna, bahir mukha jeev, turn our mukha away from Krishna, be inattentive to Krishna, and in fact be a competitor for Krishna. It's not very nice, but that's the reality. We wish to be the position of the enjoyer of Krishna's prakriti, but he's the enjoyer of Krishna's prakriti, and we want that position. So the material world is for such people. We're criminals. And this is the prison house for the criminals. Fortunately, the good news is there's reformation of that spirit, that propensity, through sound vibration and sadhusanga and all the other other forms of practice of devotional service. So now, beginning the next chapter, time is still center and front and center with the topics. And here's what Kapila Dev says, text 1, chapter 30. The personality of Godhead said, metaphor, as a mass of clouds does not know that the powerful influence of the wind, a person engaged in material consciousness does not know the powerful strength of the time factor by which he is being carried. The grammar is interesting, but as the cloud does not know the wind, so the conditioned soul does not know the time factor. And the time factor is carrying the soul. The time factor, another way to say the same thing, Krishna says the same thing in Bhagavad Gita, that the living entity is situated on a machine made of the material energy and is being moved by that machine of the material energy. A little bit like the discussion last night, the relationship between the individual soul and the elements of matter. Specifically, we're speaking about, you know, is there dialogue between the intelligence, the mind? An interesting question. Well, for sure we can say there's dialogue between the individual soul and the Supreme Soul. And the Supreme Soul is the controller of Prakriti. That's the machine. And the Supreme Soul has a time potency, and through the time potency, he moves material energy. Things come into being, things stay for some time, and things go out of being by the movements of the time energy. And so the super soul is interacting with his energy, and then his energy is indicating all kinds of things. Turn left or turn right. We think it's us. It's the material energy, it's the machine, and we're going along for the ride. Let's hear what Prabhupada says in the purport. The great politician-pundit named Chanakya said that even one moment cannot be returned, even if one is prepared to pay millions of dollars. He probably said it not in terms of dollars. Gold, any amounts of gold cannot buy back a moment. So how valuable is time? More than any amounts of gold, more valuable. One cannot calculate the amount of loss there is in wasting valuable time. Either materially or spiritually, one should be very alert in utilizing the time which he has at his disposal. A conditioned soul lives in a particular body for fixed measurement of time, and it is recommended in the scriptures that within the small measurement of time, one has to finish Krishna consciousness and thus gain release from the influence of the time factor. But, unfortunately, those who are not in Krishna consciousness are carried away by the strong power of time without their knowledge, comma, as clouds are carried by the wind. In one sense we know, in another sense the deluding potency covers that knowledge, so we act as if we don't know. And of course there's degrees of the influence of the deluding potency. There's darker, there's intermediate, and there's lighter. But in all three cases, in the mixture of those three cases, the deluding potency is there. Crowned by false ego. Even in our sleep, when it's very clear, it's just a dream. Saint Karabhajana Muni says still we think that's us in the dream. False ego is operating. The senses are not normally operating, not operating as normal. Simple example, you lie down at night on your left side and you wake up in the morning and you're on your right side. You don't remember moving from your left side to your right side. The senses are, the mind is there, but it's very dumb, or excuse me, dull or dim. Very dull or dim. It's there. Prabhupada often would say the sense of hearing is the one that's more alert, but the other senses are more dormant. But false ego is there, and somehow the mind is, that is the repository of all impressions of the day, and for that matter, lifetimes. The mind somehow is connected to false ego, and impressions from that's stored within the mind create the fabric of the dream. Anyway, that's a nice... But the conscious soul is still covered by false ego, which is under the direct influence of the Supreme Lord, moved by time. And then there's factors that determine the configuration of the material energy, what dream we have, and what we feel about the dream that we have, and all those things. But the reality is, we're not. The dream is fiction. And then that's a night dream, and then there's daydream, and it's equally fiction. We're identified with it through the agency of false ego. So it's a very clever apparatus, the material creation. So devotional service, going way back to chapter 25, this is chapter 30. In chapter 25, Devahuti asks the question to her son, how to become free from the affinity or the undue attachment to family life and the bodily conception. And he's still answering the question 6 chapters later. Through devotional service. At the root, devotional service has the potency to cut that false attachment. It doesn't mean you run away from home. It means that you don't identify with the dream, day or night dream. You carry out your duties according to the codes of scripture under proper guidance, all the while keeping your mind fixed on Krishna. Exactly as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, perform your prescribed duty and always think of me. The purpose of the prescribed duty is ultimately to help us to assist in fixing the mind on Krishna. Because if you act sinfully or averse or against the codes of Dharma, consciousness is covered. You don't forget, remember Krishna. So it's an assist, not the essence. It's an assist to the essence. The essence is always remember Krishna. So the message from the previous section is those that forget, their moga shamoga karma no moga gyana vacheta saha, they're defeated. Their hopes, their desires, their wish for liberation, even before they take a step or make a sound, they're defeated. Time acts moving the material energy in that way. Okay, so time is very important. We should utilize it properly. And those that are not using it properly, they're covered by the material energy, and the metaphor that's being used is one in such a condition doesn't recognize that as the cloud is being carried by the wind, we're also being carried by time. And time is passing and carrying us. And bringing things into being, maintaining and destroying things, that all of which are like a dream. Text 2. Short purport also. Whatever is produced by the materialist with great pain and labor for so-called happiness, the Supreme Personality, as the time factor, destroys. And for this reason, the conditioned soul laments. Purport. The main function of the time factor, which is a representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is to destroy everything. The materialists in material consciousness are engaged in producing so many things in the name of economic development. They think that by advancing and satisfying the material needs of man, they will be happy. But they forget that everything they have produced will be destroyed in due course of time. From history, we can see that there are many powerful empires. This is the theme that Prabhupada would speak over and over again. Many powerful empires on the surface of the globe that were constructed with great pain and great perseverance. But in due course of time, they have all been destroyed. Still, the foolish materialist cannot understand that they are simply wasting time in producing material necessities which are destined to be vanquished in the due course of time. This waste of energy is due to the ignorance of the mass of people who do not know that they are eternal and that they have an eternal engagement also. They do not know that the span of life in a particular body is but a flash in the eternal journey. Not knowing this fact, they take the small flash of life to be everything. And they waste time in improving economic conditions. A little splash of cold water in the face. In Washington University in St. Louis, there's a Krishna house, and one of the students that was attending the Krishna house was from China. And his field is economics. And I remember having a discussion with him. He said, you know, the more I read and hear about Krishna consciousness, this is diametrically opposite to consumer economics. You know, the goods and services produced by a nation, and that's the barometer of its prosperity and what gets people elected or keeps them in power, whatever the procedure is, somebody comes to power. You know, they make the promise we'll develop the economy, and that's the barometer of, or a major barometer of success, without all the analysis. And then you need resources, so you need alliances with people that have the resources, and then there's, you know, all kinds of things that go on, and wars that go on to get the resources. And I said, you're right, but the devotees are also consumers, but the paradigm is not, for a devotee, is not consumer economics, it's spiritual economics. We utilize things in service to Krishna and in harmony with the laws of nature and so forth. So that's a big topic. What's spiritual economics? Books, devotees have written, you know, big thick books about spiritual economics. And we're not going to discuss that this morning because it's a big topic. So that's the advocacy. It doesn't, you know, don't become zero, but you utilize that which is given by Krishna in service to Krishna and consume that way. It's like, you know, the temple construction that's going to go on. There'll be contractors and engineers and materials and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that's very important because it's for service to Krishna. But that, so that's the spiritual economics. Without going through the whole long list, each of us eat and we wear clothes and we do things that we're consuming, and goods and services. The target is recognizing that's Krishna's asset and it's meant to be used in Krishna's service and not otherwise. That's a very simple way of describing spiritual economics. And according to suitability, mentioned yesterday, yatarham upayunjitaha, according to suitability. So, text 3. The misguided materialist, Kapiladev speaking, does not know that his very body is impermanent and that the attractions of home, land, and wealth, which are in relationship with that body, are also temporary. Out of ignorance only, he thinks that everything is permanent. Now go back to the question in chapter 25. Devahuti very clearly stated, I know this is all impermanent. Still I have affinity. So knowledge is not enough. You can know impermanence and still be attached to the impermanent. It's really easy. There's a nice description from Ramanuja's lifetime where a particular grihastha couple, Ramanujacharya, showed special favor towards, and the sannyasis were very disturbed. He's a renunciate and they're paying less attention to us than to this opulent couple. So then he made some arrangement to show somebody went in at night and moved this sannyasi's dhoti over there and that sannyasi's dhoti over there, and when they woke up in the morning they were furious, someone moved my dhoti. And then the same, the observer was sent to the home of that couple, and without all the details, wonderful story. The wife understood, here's someone that's coming, they've come to steal, so she didn't move. The instruction was for the person to steal her ornaments. So he stole her earrings, then she rolled over to the other side so he could steal the other one. Because she was feeling bad that these renunciates, they're so impoverished, they let me give them whatever I have. So the observer could understand. Having something doesn't mean attachment if you're Krishna conscious. Generally it means you're attached, because generally we're not Krishna conscious. But having something and utilize something in Krishna's service, like the temple, or whatever, your home or your car or your computer or whatever it is, your clothing, if we use it in Krishna's service, then life becomes simple. And if it comes and it goes, it's also okay. I mean, we protect that which is Krishna's property and we utilize it carefully, but if time takes it away, then time takes it away. We don't lament. We don't hanker and lament. We utilize things. So how one can come to that detached position requires more than knowledge, is my point. It requires bhakti. You become attached to Krishna. That's the essence of detachment. Detachment doesn't mean I don't care. It just means I'm not the proprietor and the enjoyer of that something. Krishna is. Bhoktaram jagatapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram. That nice verse from chapter 5, Bhagavad Gita. Purport, two paragraphs. The materialist thinks that persons engaged in Krishna consciousness are crazy fellows, wasting their time by chanting Hare Krishna. But actually he does not know that he himself is in the darkest region of craziness because of accepting his body as permanent. And in relation to his body, he accepts his home, his country, his society, and all other paraphernalia as permanent. This materialistic acceptance of the permanency of homeland, etc., is called the illusion of Maya. This is clearly mentioned here. Mohad griha kshetra vasuni. Out of illusion only does the materialist accept his home, his land, and his money as permanent. Out of this illusion, the family, national life, and economic development, which are very important factors in modern civilization, have grown. A Krishna conscious person knows that this economic development of human society is but temporary illusion. Paragraph. In another part of Srimad Bhagavatam, this is Prahlad Maharaj, by the way, speaking to his dear demoniac father, Hiranyakashipu. The acceptance of the body as oneself, the acceptance of others as kinsmen in relation to this body, and the acceptance of the land as one's worshipable birth, a land of one's birth as worshipable, are declared to be the products of animal civilization. Kunapetri Datuke. When, however, one is enlightened in Krishna consciousness, he can use these for the service of the Lord. That is a very suitable proposition. Everything has a relationship with Krishna. When all economic development and material advancement are utilized to advance the cause of Krishna consciousness, a new phase of progressive life arises. So go forward with construction of the temple and renovation and all that. But do it in Krishna consciousness. Don't slip into the grip of Maya. I'm the doer, I'm the enjoyer, I'm the proprietor, and so forth. It's real easy. We're very accustomed to that field of illusion. So there, a little summary. There's forces acting on us. One of them is time. Has anyone seen time? Like, you know, has anyone seen an electron? The whole field of study of electronics. And who's seen one? Well, we utilize it all the time. Electronics. It's a big industry. Huge industry. Electronics. As science has utilized something it has not seen, the science of bhakti is also very conscious of something that we haven't seen, but we've seen its influence, just like we've seen the influence of electrons. It does things, or electrons do things. Makes things hot or makes things cold, depending upon, you know, the engineer's design of the device. And so many things electrons do. Similarly, that time is something that's not visible, but it's a force to be utilized properly. And when utilized properly, it has one result, and when not utilized properly, it has another result. So we're spiritual scientists, and we're being taught by Kapila to utilize time properly. And what does it mean to utilize time properly? And because time is influencing things, to use those things. You know, economic prosperity or whatever. Developing your career or studying as a young person going to school so you can have a career, have a job, and maintain your family. And so we don't not do those things, we do those things, but in Krishna conscious way. At least the training is there, the opportunity is being provided to come to that position. And we have to be thoughtful. This is not a mechanical process. It's not... Remember Prabhupada's speaking this point of a devotee is thoughtful. Manishinam. He kept repeating the phrase from scripture. We have to be thoughtful about hearing these things. In other words, it's not just an academic thing that we're doing, hearing Kapila Dev speak something. It's meant, you know, to act. The understanding he's given is to meant to act, be acted upon in our lives. Redirect our consciousness from affinity for the temporary, asat trishna, to affinity for Krishna, and utilize the energy and utilize time and utilize whatever ability we have and whatever resources we're given or whatever in a proper way in service to Krishna. And then time acts in a favorable way instead of an unfavorable way. In the commentary of our acharyas, they speak about just this last point. Time also takes away from the devotee. Aging goes on. Disease goes on. Death goes on. The resources that we have come and go. Time is acting in that way with the devotee as well as not the devotee. But the devotee isn't disturbed. When those things happen, they understand it's just part of being here. And so when there's some resource, we try our best to recognize where the resources come from, not by my hard work this resource has come, it's by the endowment of Krishna. It's come. Just studying this, there's a series of quotes by Bhaktisiddhanta Carl's, the title of his Pearls of Instruction, something like that. And one of them is, right on this point, when misfortune comes, it's an instruction, when misfortune comes, I can't remember it precisely. A devotee, the essence of it is, a devotee continues to strive to please Krishna, and whether that striving to please Krishna will manifest in a result or not is in the hands of good fortune or their fortune. In other words, the essence of our life in devotion is to please Krishna. The essence of our life in devotion is not get some result. We want results. Prabhupada came to America under the instruction of Bhaktisiddhanta to do something, which means, you know, there's a result. But he understood whether there's a result or no result, the essence of my happiness is carrying out the instruction of my spiritual master. And he was tested for a whole year, nothing. Struggle, and you read in Lilamrita, my goodness, what a struggle. Prabhupada said later to his earlier disciples, you would never have been able to survive. I mean, New York is a hard place. Didn't have any money. Like, you know, hobo, a homeless man. From an aristocratic family and having in his lifetime disposal of everything. Roaming the streets like a vagabond. Krishna protected him, but, I mean, can you imagine living this way? Dr. Mishra befriended him. He gave him an office space to live in that wasn't even a toilet or place to shower. He had to go at a certain prescribed time in the morning in the middle of the winter down the street to Dr. Mishra's place and use the shower, take a morning bath and cook there. It was just an office space. Can you imagine? I had no money. What's he doing? Who could do that? Etc. 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 But his happiness was not, I have a nice place to stay. His happiness was carrying out the instruction of a spiritual master. And it was tested and no result came and he continued. He renewed his tourist visa. Stayed for a year. And then things started to happen. A whole year. Think about the tribulations that we have to contend with. And my goodness, it's in comparison. So the devotees have to endure tribulation also. The effects of time are acting in that way. At the same time, the eternal servitude is the main thing that the devotee's attention goes to. And it's that eternal servitude that carries them on beyond the other, onto the other side, or crossing beyond the tribulations. And whatever comes out, Bhaktisiddhanta said, is depends on one's fortune. You know, providence can make the arrangement, something very wonderful, or nothing. But that's not the objective. You know, get some result. The objective is be properly situated in the mood of service. We want something, but it's dependent upon Krishna. And we don't become impatient. We don't stamp our little foot like a child saying, I want. Hurry up, Krishna. It's Hare Krishna, not hurry up, Krishna. And then the time energy works in a different way. Okay, I'll end with that, see if there's some discussion.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Maharaj, I had this question when you were mentioning about how valuable time is. Knowing that my time is very limited, I have this tendency to get things right or make less mistakes as much as possible.
That's good.
So, but I think you might have answered my question, Maharaj, in the last part when you mentioned we are Hare Krishnas, and
the result is up to Krishna. We're entitled to our prescribed duty. We're not entitled to the result. Basic Bhagavad Gita teaching. I say it a different way. Same message. Our department is the service department. Krishna's department is the results department. We don't try to do Krishna's job. We try to do our job. The service department job. Do it nicely. Don't waste time. Minimize, the foolishness of, as you described, things that are not going to be effective. If we don't get in, obsessive about it, we just are conscientious and move along in that way. And the results are up to Krishna. Or as Bhaktisiddhanta said, it's the outcome is one's fortune. And it can go this way or that way. Our attachment goes to Krishna, not to the results. Using our founder Acharya as an ideal example. And Bhaktisiddhanta. And, any great personality. Go ahead. You want to say something more?
Maharaj, how do I overcome this tendency to see my success? Basically, I'm not sure if I can use the word failure in spiritual life, because everything, there is something to learn from every moment. So how do I know whether I'm successful? Because I tend to see everything in terms of the results.
Well, this is the same topic. Take the microphone from him. Be in the mode of service. That's your success. Just using that example that I gave of Srila Prabhupada, he was very clear. His success was that he was carrying out the instructions of his spiritual master. That was his instruction, and he was doing his instruction. Whether it would be successful or not successful, he describes, that when arriving in the Boston Harbor, mission impossible. How will these people accept? But somehow or other, you've sent me here. So that's, using that example, that what's your instruction? Always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. Try to imbibe the teachings and live by those teachings. And we're imperfect in all ways, but you strive to carry out that, the core instruction. And then as much of the essence of other instructions. because they're all assistant to that one instruction. And you strive to the best of your ability. And you know, the ability may go up and down even in the course of the day, or the course of a week, or course of a month, or course of a year. But just stay sincerely in that mood of striving for what you understand the instructions to be, and seek clarity for what the instructions are, and so forth. And then just immerse yourself in that, using the language that Prabhupada is saying, eternal servitude. Not conditional servitude, based upon outcomes. That I celebrate when I get a good result and I become sad or lethargic or depressed when I don't get a good result. Or beat myself up or something. I must be a bad person. So those are just the modes of nature. Just stay in the mood of service. Eternally. Strive for that. And that's the perfection. Act in your relationship with Krishna. That's the perfection. That's what the purpose of the instructions are. To carry you to the position of Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. You know, just always being the hearing and serving Bhagavan and the representatives of Bhagavan in the form of the book Bhagavat and the person Bhagavat. And you do that. That's the perfection. The other paradigm we learned very well this lifetime and lifetime after lifetime. So it's the force of conditioning is strong. So that's what we're battling against. The mind. It carries all those conceptions. Then just, you know, tell your mind, my dear mind, Manashiksha, please sit down. You've been in control for so many lifetimes and you've made a mess of things. Just sit down. I'm going to give my attention to Krishna. Stop protesting. I'm going to give my attention to Krishna. That's it. You can make all the noise and whine and complain and carry on. That's, you know, I'm going to give my attention to Krishna. This one lifetime. And that's the intelligence instructing the mind. And where does that intelligence come from? The Dhammi Buddhi Yogam Tam Yena Mamu Piyantite. Krishna gives that. Unto whom does Krishna give that? Tesham Satata Yuktanam Vajatam Priti Purvakam. That's who Krishna gives that intelligence. So you do the first one and Krishna will do the second one. Focus on the first one. Krishna will give the second one. And then you can tell mind, be quiet. If you don't be quiet, I'm just going to ignore you. I'm going to move on. I've had it with you. You're a bully. And I don't like bullies. I've had it. No more bullying. Okay? And just be strong on the first part, and the second part will give you the buddhi to do that. It works. Something else? Yeah?
Maharaj, I always get impressed, like I want to be on time like you. You always follow timings and I want to do that, but somehow I never, 90% of the time I fail. Being on time is important, or giving value to time is important. Like Krishna,
yes,
likes anything, or how, is it only sincerity?
Only?
Sincerity or sincere effort.
Sincerity? Sincerity is what you're saying? But Krishna likes sincerity. And if you're sincere, Krishna will help you. If you're sincere, Krishna will help you. In all ways, including breaking this habit of not being on time. How do you... Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Amnaya Sutra, I believe, gives this formula for eradication of bad habits. That's fascinating. Right in his writings. And just, there's many elements, but one of the things he says, it may take 5 years to overcome a bad habit. But stay with it. Not fanatically, but stay with it. And you'll find that if you can just take this one thing, if you focus on this one thing, because there's so many things, nothing can happen. Focus on one thing, and other things will also improve by focusing on one thing. They'll be on time. If that's something that's of particular importance to you and you value it and you'd like to change, certainly habits can change. Bad habits can change into good habits. But you have to pay attention to it. And you can't just do it on your own effort because the material energy is carrying you. Yantarudani mayaya. You require the interference or the intervention of Krishna and his internal potency. And you practice that is, being dependent upon Krishna's internal potency, and miracles happen. Not only that one. You do that one, and then other ones will follow, even with your paying the same kind of focused attention, because you're within the internal potency, as opposed to struggling. Mama maya duratyaya. Just, change the channel from maya channel to a Krishna channel. And just do it with one thing. And you're connected to the Krishna channel, and the messages then come in with a strong signal. The difficulty is we're ruled by our false ego. We want to be the doer, and we get defeated. The weakness of the soul is acting independently from Krishna, act in a dependent upon Krishna manner. And there's greater strength. The formula is really simple. Which is greater, A or B? My own effort. Or B, my effort and Krishna's help. Really easy. But we keep choosing A, even when we're trying to be a devotee. So choose B. Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. So, what is the difficulty? So,
yeah.
So that's so interesting and again, it's so confusing too, that having the faith in Krishna, we have seen scripture after scripture, from the life of Prabhupada, from life of yours, and our day-to-day life too. Wherever we have those moments of faith, we have been successful. But why we just have those moments of faith? Why just our lifetime is not 100%?
Because we're weak. We have very strong affinity for enjoying matter. And so spiritual strength is weak, weakened by that affinity for matter. Spirit is stronger. Here's a little lesson. I'm developing a seminar on this topic, so I'll just say it in 3 minutes, but it's going to be like a two-part seminar. It's very important for devotees to understand the answer to the question you're asking. It's due to anartas. Anarta, listen carefully, anarta has the power to block spiritual power. Like the cloud has the power to block the heat and light of the sun. And there's different degrees of clouds. But thick clouds have the power to block the heat and the light of the sun. Similarly, anartas is the reason why the answer to your question. And where do anartas come from? The chief one is offense. And not just in this lifetime, according to Jiva Goswami in Bhakti Sandarbha, it's lifetimes we bring all this baggage with us of anartas that are due to previous offenses. And when we take up spiritual practice, there's moments when the clouds part and then the clouds close again. So that's the difficulty. It's our previous offenses. So it's not just, an interesting subject matter and nectar devotion. It's something that rules our lives. So we must become very attentive to avoiding offenses, and especially avoiding the offenses against the holy name. the whole of the 10 of the 13 chapters, 10 of the 15 chapters of Harinam Chintamani is just one by one going through the 10 offenses. And then the chapter before that is why? Because it produces clouds that block the sun of the holy name. So the sun of the holy name in the heart is blocked by anarthas that arise from offense. And we're carrying this with us. But it's not a small matter. Offense is not, you know, notional. It's very powerful. We must be very careful. And just make a on the side comment, the internet is, you know, a fantastic facility for offense making. Some people, that's all they do. They, you know, they don't even twiddle their thumbs. They got their fingers on the keyboard making offensive things all over the place. And then people go to those things and become polluted. And then ask the question, I mean, not be saying that you or anybody else here does those things, but then, you know, even those moments become less frequent because of the anarthas that have arisen from the offense of hearing that garbage. It's very sad. So one should be very careful with how you utilize time. And select the association very carefully. And cultivate in the community. It's really important because, you know, you're attempting to expand, and it naturally so, the scope of who will be involved in the Hare Krishna movement. Make sure that the core group of devotees understand these principles very carefully, and don't participate, don't propagate, don't be a receiver or a transmitter of such sound vibrations that are of the nature of Vaishnava Aparad and so forth. You know, go in the opposite direction. As a culture, then it's wholesome. And then, you know, it's like cockroaches. I'm sorry to make the comparison, but, you know, Prabhupada was asked, can we exterminate cockroaches? He said, make the place clean, and cockroaches won't come. Don't exterminate, just make the place clean. You follow? Simply, you know, make the atmosphere such that abundantly we hear, chant, and glorify, you know, the message of the Bhagavatam and the wonderful devotees that propagate the message and exemplify the message of Bhagavatam. We do that as a culture. And, you know, cockroach isn't going to want to come in. But if it's not clean, cockroaches are going to come in and do the thing that just, you know, place it a playground for offense. No, let's not do that. Let us be on guard based on scriptural teaching and our own personal discipline. And that we want more than moments of clarity. We want that connection with Krishna to be very strong. You have to want that connection with Krishna to be very strong, to not succumb to this other thing, because the other thing is ubiquitous. And Kali, you know, it's the influence of Kali, just causing quarrel amongst good people. It goes on. It's really sad. It's really sad. Very sad. Those devotees who I have the opportunity to associate with and hear from, they speak on this point very strongly. I've noticed, I'm sorry I'm going off on this, but at the ILS, this thing that just happened in Mayapur, three devotees, very senior devotees, spoke on the same point. The, you know, the for our leaders of ISKCON, worldwide leaders, the importance of avoiding offense. For this reason, because we want to experience and be bearers of Krishna consciousness to others. That's what leaders are meant to do. So a huge obstacle is offense. We need to know what offense is and isn't, and conduct ourselves accordingly. There's a nice little dialogue between Tamal Krishnamurti and Prabhupada asking, what's the difference between calling a spade, and offense? Etc. You know, when you is speaking the truth, offense, call a spade, you know, the American phrase. So there's a nice discussion, and it's, you know, we should be clear what is speaking truthfully and what is offense. And don't fall into that mistake of propagating that which is going to make your moments less and make the moments of others who you're in contact with less by good intention. Sorry, I pushed a button. Very important subject matter. For an individual and for a community, a growing community. Be really clear on this. Because we want our connection with Krishna to grow and grow. Otherwise, why are we here? That's what we want. So don't... The influence of Kali is very strong. It's all around us. So don't succumb. You know, so there's the antidote. Act rightly. Chant the holy name and avoid the 10 offenses. Know what they are and live your life accordingly. Okay. I'm looking over there, but you're pointing to them. Go ahead. Two questions and then we're going to end because of time.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for the wonderful class. My question is, I'm focusing on the practical steps, kind of. We know it's like a cycle. I have asked this question before, but that question was before I implemented some hearing and chanting. Like, the moment I stop the hearing button, the moment I stop the chanting button, immediately Maya channel starts, immediately, without even a second break. And it is so obvious that you don't even realize that Maya channel is started. Till we are hearing, till we are chanting, it is good. The channel starts and after a few minutes we realize, okay, this channel started, and maybe it's the strength of hearing and chanting that's making us realize, okay, now you are in this channel, turn it off. But due course of time, after some time, because there is, like, you know, we are doing our chores, you know, household activities and everything, slowly that fades away and you are completely into the channel without even, you don't even realize we have to forget that, turn off the channel. Hearing and chanting helps, but again, as you mentioned, that anardas, what is causing, and we have this previous baggage, and even while chanting also, like, we are making nama prats and all offenses against the holy name. So what are the practical, like, hearing and chanting is one, two things we are doing, but still it seems so, like, difficult even to imagine there will be a day that this Maya channel I could turn off, like, you know, easily, like, at least I will realize that the channel is on, like.
Okay. Take the microphone. I'll say three things. Similar to one of the first one is similar to a comment made previously. Which is going to be more powerful? Your effort or your effort plus Krishna's help? Real easy. Therefore, my recommendation is don't just strive, but call for Krishna's help as you're striving. The difficulty is the false ego sense of doership as opposed to the devotional sense of depending upon Krishna as you're striving. It's the change of the channel from Maya to Krishna channel. I'm not saying you don't do that, but it's a practical response to your question for something practical. Number two. I think it's Canto 3, Chapter 29, the same chapter we just finished. Text number 41, I think it is, where Kapiladev is describing to Devahuti how to, practical, how to come to the position of pure devotion that's unmixed. He's describing what it is, he's also describing how to. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives a very wonderful, it's become one of my favorite purports of late. He describes that in pure devotional service one has this relish of hearing and chanting, but now here's the how-to part, in such a way that one hears the qualities and the faults of one's antah-karana. You know what karana means? Causation. Antah-karana, the causation within. It's not in the verse, but it's a term that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur uses consistently throughout his Bhagavatam commentary, indicating the subtle body. Antah-karana. A little bit like the discussion yesterday evening, you weren't there. The subtle body is animated by the soul, and the subtle body and the soul animate the gross body. When the soul leaves, so does the subtle body, and the gross body disintegrates. The gross body seems to be alive because of the presence of the soul. And then the subtle body, the antakarana. So we all have one, a subtle body, or an antakarana. And through the process of hearing, so it's the qualitative how-to, practical. Vishwanath says one should hear the qualities and the faults of antakarana, and we should hear in that way, hear with practical application in mind. I'm hearing Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam or whatever, and the way in which I'm hearing, this is the practical part that you're asking for, hear with that purpose. Not information gathering, not even just purification, because purification can become again very covered. Like, you know, you clean the sink or clean a pot and you go cook something and the pot and the sink are dirty again. You have to go clean it again. That antakara, this process is on the platform of the soul. The affinity for matter can be changed. But it starts, an essential part is the hearing process cleansing the negative parts of our antakara, our conditioning, our upadis, who we think we are. And the process of hearing is meant to remove those upadis. And then the third point, he says, this is all possible through sadhu sangha. Like, it's just like a little capsule statement. We can't do it on our own, is another. Besides, you need the mercy of Krishna. How are you going to get the mercy of Krishna? Through the mercy of Krishna's representatives that carry the mercy of Krishna. And so we have to open our hearts to and make arrangements for sadhu sangha. And that's partly what Bhakti Vriksha is intended to do, is to, you know, bring people together in sadhu sangha. It's not just, you know, the facilitator of the Bhakti Vriksha group, that's the sadhu, and everybody else is nobody. Not like that. We have to have respect for the bhakti that's being carried in the hearts of those who are attending the Bhakti Vriksha group. Because that's what it is, a Bhakti Vriksha group. And then, you know, it work together to help one another overcome the antakarana deficiencies. Not just hide them. We can even hide them from ourselves, what to speak of in our family, what to speak of in our Bhakti Vriksha group. So this is sadhu sangha as the means. It gives strength beyond our own strength. Practical. Now if our hearts are not open to that, we're not going to receive it. We'll go to the Bhakti Vriksha group and it's a social event. And, you know, take a little prasadam. And how's it going? So if we have another spirit, another purpose, we'll seek out that association, we'll be that kind of association for others. You don't have to be like, you know, a fanatic or something. You know, you can't talk any social things because we're supposed to be here for this other higher purpose. We're social beings. But we also, the devotee means one who wishes to be, and just like that discussion on Friday evening, we wish to be in our relationship with Krishna and do all the things that we do. This is practical. Now, back to the starting point of your question. Our conditioning is otherwise. Even we're hearing and chanting. So here are some practical messages to help the hearing chanting go to another level. And beyond the rerun of what you described at the beginning part of your question. So the good news is, where would you be without the hearing and chanting? Don't answer that question. We're benefiting already. So don't beat yourself up that, I'm all that negativity. We're benefiting. Now take further benefit in practical ways. And help one another, starting in the home and then in the community. Help one another go to the next level, even if it's just one little step. And then celebrate and then take the next step and work together. That's sadhu sangha. That's why the Hare Krishna movement, Prabhupada writes right in Nectar of Instruction. That's why he created the Hare Krishna movement. ISKCON. To promote those loving exchanges. He's revealing one's mind in confidence and hearing exactly this point. So it's an opportunity. And we require it to take proper advantage of the opportunity. And don't make the mistake of saying, point a finger and saying, something not nice about the companionship that is provided. Rather, be that example of what you'd like others to be, what you'd like the world to be, as best you can. You strive like that, Krishna will help you. Last question. Microphone? No, I'm not going to keep going. I'm sorry. I did. Okay, then he gets to ask his question. Last question.
Thank you so much, Maharaj. Maharaj, my question is twofold. One is regarding time.
Okay.
The first one is the verse number 2. It says, whatever is produced by the materialist with great pain and labor, so-called happiness, Supreme Personality of Godhead as a time factor destroys everything. I'm trying to understand when Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, yoga unashta parantapa, this knowledge I gave into Vivaswan is lost by time. How do we understand, because that is a spiritual thing given by God, how come that vanished by time?
When did it? So this question number one. Can I answer that one before you go to question number two?
Yes, Maharaj.
It doesn't get lost. It just gets covered. It's not destroyed. Vinashati doesn't mean it goes out of existence, that kind of destruction. Rather, it just gets covered over. Like the soul gets covered over. The soul isn't destroyed. And the knowledge that Krishna gave to Vivaswan isn't destroyed, just covered over. Because of the influence of time, and specifically, you know, consciousness of somewhere along the line, the consciousness of someone slipped or went away from the core message. Same thing for us. Correct? I mean, we're hearing the Bhaktivedanta purports from an unquestionably ideal, exemplary acharya. Now, that's been entrusted to us, to you and to me, and to all the rest of us. Is that going to be destroyed? No. It may become covered. We may take that message and go in that direction or some other direction. Original message isn't destroyed, it's just covered. What do you think? Does that address your question?
Yeah, the word used is nashta.
Nashta. Vinashati, same. Nashta. It's not, I don't want to say it again. It doesn't go out of existence, not that kind of destroyed. It gets covered. Bhaktisiddhanta uses, maybe it's just the same thing said in a different way. Bhaktisiddhanta used this term, he got it from his father, Vaishnava Vishva Raja Sabha, otherwise known as ISKCON. Vaishnava Vishva Raja Sabha. All over the world, the international Sangha of Vaishnavas, he says it always exists. Just like a river, it may sometimes go underground or appear to be dried up, but it's there, and in time the river will again manifest. So similarly, Bhaktisiddhanta, this is as a youth, he started this as a youth, Vaishnava Vishva Raja Sabha, saying he wanted to manifest that river again on the order of Mahaprabhu. So how do you do that? Hearing and chanting. How did Prabhupada do it? Hearing and chanting. How do you do it? Hearing and chanting. We promote that. And when there's hearing and chanting, it's a very example of what we're doing right now. This was a Baptist church. And on the other side of the altar was a bathtub. I saw it. Not there anymore. But, you know, somehow one of the rituals, it was to dunk people in the bathtub and baptize them. So now, it started during the 60s, when some people from the south part of the U.S. came here and, you know, bought a property in Naperville to start a Baptist church in Naperville. And some time passed, and, you know, the board members started to disagree with one another, and, you know, they didn't have the financial means to maintain the place. So they sold it. Now, a place that was not habited by people is now habited by people. Why? Hearing and chanting. Life attracts life. That's what Prabhupada would say. So it's not that vinashati or nashta, the knowledge that Krishna gave to Vivaswan, was destroyed. But we could make the same mistake, this wonderful teaching that Prabhupada. So we must be very careful to not destroy, but to preserve, and preserve with integrity the message, and live that life. Become perambulatory Bhagavad Gitas. That's what we're supposed to do. And that we could take the teaching and do something else with it. That's how it becomes nashati. So let's not do that. The baton is being passed to the next generation. Please carry the baton very carefully. You follow?
Yes, Maharaj. Okay. Very nice. Thank you so much.
Okay.
The second question is, a long time back I heard Nityananda Pran Prabhu giving Bhagavatam class on time factor. He gave a definition of time as change of events. If there is no change in event, there is no time. So in the material world. So I'm curious to know what is the spiritual eternal time, because there is no change, there should not be any change in the event there. How do I relate, or how do I understand spiritual time?
It's a mystery. We discussed it. But, you know, so I don't want to retell everything that we discussed. Jiva Goswami says, there is no past, present, and future kind of time. There is eternal time that has, by the power of Yoga Maya, the sense, the mistake, Vibhrama, B-H-R-A-M-A, Vibhrama, the sense that time is passing, because otherwise there's not events. There's lila that are eternal, and there's the sense of, you know, Krishna's at Nandagram, then he goes out in the morning, he takes his bath with, you know, so there's events. There's the sense of passage of time, although the pastimes are eternal. It's mystical. Or seeming contradictory, or seeming like this. Hey, this is word jugglery here. What's going
yes,
on?
Much.
But it's the internal potency acting to enhance Krishna's pastimes, and that's the spiritual world. Krishna can expand and contract time. It's very flexible because it's actually eternal. It's just his lila, and it's facilitating his pastimes. One of my favorite examples is in the Kaliya Damana Leela. Balaram that morning stayed home. Krishna and the cowherd boys went in a very unusual pattern. They left very early, and right away they went to the river Jamuna, and the cowherd boys became very thirsty, so they wanted to drink the water, and they as if died. So anyway, the pastime ensued. Krishna is in the coils of the Kaliya serpent practically the whole day. Now, how long you've been to Vrindavan? Never been to Vrindavan. So if you were to travel in a taxi from Kaliyagat to Nanda Maharaja's palace, it takes several hours by taxi. So one of the Vaishnavas, Vrajavasis, went all the way back to Nandagram to tell Nanda Maharaj the difficulty that Krishna was in. And then Nanda Maharaj came. That's like half a day. At least. That by taxi. They didn't have taxis. So time, the movements between point A and B can be less because time energy is very flexible for Krishna's pastimes. Like Prabhupada described, you know, when asked, how did, you know, Krishna cover all of Vrindavan in one day? He did it every day. And Prabhupada's answer was, Vrindavan is like a lotus, and sometimes the petals expand and sometimes they contract. Then space can be, you know, distance can be less if the petals contract. The time and space are very flexible because it's just for Krishna's pastimes. So that's very high sounding and very clever, and, you know, for a materialist, it's, you know, humbug. But for the devotee, it's the internal potency. There's the sense of passage of time, although time is eternal. And therefore, there can be events in Goloka.
Thank you so much, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Prabhupada ki jai.